Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton from Right Now Radio, a member of Expert Insights Publishing Family. And we're proud to announce that we've published 9 new number one bestsellers in just the last year and created 300 new best-selling authors. Our latest bestseller, Wounded, Survive, Thrive, is getting rave reviews around the globe, and that's why I wanted to bring this to you. Each of us can think of a woman in our life that, despite her trials and adversity, seemed to pick herself up, dust herself off, and pull herself together. This book is an invaluable resource and a collection of 101 women's stories from tears and torment to triumph. This will leave an indelible imprint on your heart forever. These resilient women have lived through nightmares and not only survived, but found ways to truly thrive. Surviving some of the most difficult situations taught these brave women resilience, strength, and faith, and they want to share that with you now. Discover their triumph. Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of many best-selling and award-winning books. This year alone, we've published 7 bestsellers, and we have over 300 new authors who are bestseller and international bestsellers out there. So I'm thrilled today because I have with me some of these authors who have contributed to one of our latest bestsellers, Wounded, Survive, Thrive. It went international bestseller and award-winning book in days. And there were contributions from women all over the world who came together to really help those who are at a point where they're wounded or they're really not thriving now, to help them get to a point where they can do exactly that with their wonderful stories of how they made that happen in their own lives. 101 women all over the world. It's been an incredible journey for me personally and for everyone in the book. And all of the women in the book are amazing. And as I said, we're very fortunate to have some of those women with us today to share their stories. And again, they're global and from all over the world. So I wanted to share something from the introduction of the book. And I just really love this because it brings the spirit of the book to where we really want to be today in order to discuss our pleasure in sharing it with the world. In a time when the world seems depressed economically and emotionally, it's easy to find people who are wounded, difficult to find people who are thriving, and sometimes nearly impossible to tap into those who are really mastering their lives. So Wounded, Survive, Thrive, it's really a priceless work that was created to encourage and inspire you to be triumphant over your own situation. It's your time to stop suffering, stop being a victim, stop letting those who have hurt you have a grip over your life, and stop struggling to merely survive. The lessons you learn in the stories of these women, and these women are going to be sharing these stories with you so honestly and wholeheartedly today, about how they overcame extreme adversity, took power back over their own story, and became victorious. And they will inspire you to do the same. So I'm really thrilled that you decided today to go on this journey with us from any place that you may be wounded and learn how to survive and then joyously claim victory over your specific situation so you can grab hold of life again and really start living and thriving. So I was sharing with the ladies in the call earlier that I have an inspiration message that automatically comes into my email every morning, and I never know for sure what it's going to look like. And this morning, it appropriately was a message from Gandhi that said, "My life is my message." And I love this, and I feel this is so beautiful for our call today because of the fact that these women from all over the globe have shared their message. Many times they faced some of the wounds in their life for the very first time and shared them in this book for the first time. So ladies, I am thrilled to have you all here and for your ability to encourage women across the globe to really foster their dreams, embrace their fears, and follow their bliss. And that's really my theory in life, and I'm so glad that you have come together with us in this book to make that happen for other women. And now I'd love to introduce from Hawaii, Gail Lloyd, who is chapter 72 in the inspiration section, Riding the Wave of Change. And I have to say, Gail is doing something really wonderful with the book for herself personally and then spreading the message out on the web, because Gail really is a messenger. That's how I look at Gail, from the standpoint of her contribution in the world. And she has taken a chapter every day that she just arbitrarily goes to the book and finds and talks to what that means to her about the chapter that she finds in the book. And then she shares that with not just the co-authors, but everyone on the web. So Gail, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. And it's been a fascinating process. I already have a strange sort of union ability to synchronize with anything that I focus energy on. And I had that intention in the back of my mind when I started talking about and writing about everybody's story in the book, is that it was my hope that my energy would just sort of catalyze with everybody else's, and we can just create this power vortex for empowerment for women worldwide. So hopefully that's all working out. It's been fun and just a great journey through people's lives. Very affirming.
Gail talks in her chapter about the experiences she had, both really positive and really negative, with being a messenger and using the web as a vehicle. And if you'd like to share just briefly about what that looked like, and then Gail, what that's catapulted you into as far as your contribution now to the world.
Okay, well, I would say my story is one of planetary activation, and I think a lot of women are feeling that all over the world right now. My story is one that I don't believe I've ever heard the likes of before, and I hope maybe that other women with similar circumstances, if they feel that they've been silenced, will come forward through my telling my tale. Essentially, I was this independent, free-spirited singer-songwriter touring all over the world with my husband, making music, leading the artistic life. And when I divorced him, it was like kismet, like I say in the book. And just by being this woman who was very outspoken politically and had strong opinions about the music industry and so forth, I became the victim of a modern-day witch hunt. And through all the highest technology, I was under surveillance. It's like I became a reality TV show, non-consensually, for an untold multitude. And it was just this weird cult thing that was happening in our society at the time. And rather than run and hide, I took a stand, and I challenged first the media community where it was happening to me. Eventually, word got out nationally and internationally. And at that time, it was terrifying. It was like I was being hunted and no place was safe. And all these amazing gifts started waking up in me. I became highly prophetic with my dreams. I started synchronizing really specifically with any media that I listened to, and eventually greater world events and climactic events. It was a really, really wild time. And when the switch happened, where it became not me being a poor victim, but me being a positive change agent in the world, is definitely when I decided that it didn't really matter what happened to me anymore, and that I was going to do everything in my power to get the word out, to make sure that this never happened to a vulnerable, isolated person ever again. And with this hyper-awareness, this survival instinct that kicked in, I really, really have a faith in higher powers, and, you know, call it God or whatever. But I know higher intelligences started working through me and helping me out. And through that, I'm not a technological person, but I was able to use their technology against them and to just really expose the light on this descent into this corrupt technocracy, that turn that our world was taking. And as a result, I became an underground voice for the free media worldwide, which I am to this day. This is over the arc of about 5 years now. And I've taken some really heavy hits for it. I'm a bit of a wounded warrior still, but I find that the more that I place myself in service and engage with people who are going through their own midnight of the soul, that I do have a special gift for bringing out their strengths and making them remember who they are.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much, Gail, for finding your voice and then being able to help others to find theirs. And if people would like to learn more about what you're doing now, can you give us a website or a contact where they could reach you?
Absolutely. And, I especially hope that I'll connect with women who have spiritual gifts and who have artistic abilities, because I know that that's really where my calling is to get those people activated and standing in their power. So I've got a number of projects that are still in infancy right now, but I am definitely open for consultation. So if folks want to email me at createdivine1@gmail.com, createdivine1@gmail.com. And together with a licensed hypnotherapist, Noriyelis Young, we're going to do a really fun webinar series called Celebrate Your Divine Nature and Leadership. And so you'll be able to find out about that through that email.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Gail. Now,
thank you. One more thing, Vicki.
Sure.
I can't thank you enough for it, because it's a story that I was actively being repressed and silenced. And you had the courage to welcome me in to be among these women. And I just cannot thank you enough for allowing me this catalyst to move to the next stage in my life.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And thank you, all of you, because I know, as Gail is saying, and speaking from my own experience, I feel like I'm in the best of company in this book and with the most amazing women. So thank you all for your contribution and for being here. Agnes Spurlock wrote chapter 4 in our health and well-being section, Living a Life of Balance. Agnes, welcome.
Thank you very much, Vicki. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Wonderful. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what drove you to write the subject matter of your chapter, and then what you're doing with that now to contribute to the world and get the message out.
Okay. I sort of share something with you, because you mentioned about, you know, that you had been in great health and you didn't think you were wounded. And when I first was contacted about this, I thought, well, I'm not wounded. I have never been physically or emotionally abused. How could I be wounded? But what I really discovered upon thinking about what I'd been talking about with women was that I was wounded, but it was all self-inflicted. I had no one else to blame but myself. Basically, in 2005, I had a stroke, and I was in front of about 300 people when I had it, and no one, not even me, realized that I was doing it. I knew something was very, very wrong. I worked for Cincinnati Habitat for Humanity, and we were dedicating to new homes. And I knew something was really wrong. I was very dizzy. I couldn't get my breath and having great difficulty getting the words from my brain out my mouth. But didn't, you know, I just kept thinking, I can push through this. I'll be fine. I just need to go home and rest. And I went on like that for almost 3 days until that was on a Saturday morning. And on Monday morning, I woke up totally numb down my whole right side of my body. And at the hospital, they put me through every test, you know, known to man. And they finally said after a couple of days, you know, we know that you had a stroke, but all of the tests have come back very positive, and we really can't find much wrong with you. You're young, you're strong, you're overall in really good health, but you're absolutely killing yourself with the amount of stress in your life. So they told me, you know, consider this a big old wake-up call and find a way to cut down on the stress, or maybe the next time you won't be so lucky. And I know that probably all of you have heard that these people say that a picture is worth 1,000 words, and that was never truer than when my daughters came to see me that Monday in 2005. I mean, they were scared. They had this total look of fear on their face. I guess that, you know, they thought that I was going to die, maybe be left with a serious side effect. And all of the testing, all of the things that the doctor said to me had an impact, but they had no kind of impact like what I was looking at on my daughter's faces. It was so painful, because I had to admit that I was responsible for that look of fear. It was there because the way I was living my life. And so basically I started to change and started looking at how could I slow my life down, how could I reduce some of that stress, what could I control, what couldn't I. And there's an old saying that says you can't get to where you need to be until you first know where you are. And I thought, oh my goodness, if I'm going to make any kind of significant change, I'm going to have to be honest with myself where I am right now and accept myself at that stage of my life. And, you know, it's very, very difficult. I've been living this way for a long, long time. I was the kind of person that I was used to hear all the time from people, oh, you want to know an answer, you just go to Agnes. She always knows everything. I was very organized, multitasker, you know, had a happy life. But I obviously, there was something really wrong, and I needed to really slow down and figure out who I was and how I really wanted to live my life. And what I basically, someone before mentioned that it's very embarrassing to admit where you are, and that was really true with me, because I didn't want others to know that I couldn't keep it all together. I mean, it's sort of like our pride keeps us pretending that way. And I finally figured out that humility was going to be the ingredient that I needed to change to counter that pride. And I had to come clean, and I had to admit that I didn't have it all together. And pride was really in my way. So I had to swallow my pride, and I had to finally admit to myself that I couldn't do it all. No matter how hard I worked, I couldn't do it all. So I learned to lower my expectations for myself, because the expectations I had for myself were much higher than the expectations that anybody else had for me. And I had to learn not to be perfect all the time, because that trying to be perfect had left me feeling very frustrated, very disappointed. And I had to find some time for me. And that was very difficult for me, because I was busy all the time. I was just, you know, I had been volunteering since I was in the seventh grade. I had an active nonprofit career, and I was just doing everything for everybody. And coping with that stress, I had to find a way to build some relaxation into my life. And it was a real challenge for me, because I had to really relearn how to relax. And I had to give myself permission to let go, to let some of that clutter. I talk a lot about clutter when I talk to women, and not clutter in the fact of being physical clutter, but emotional clutter, relational clutter, even spiritual clutter. And when I talk about that, women, I find that, you know, I used to think that I was all alone in this, that I was the only one that was pushing so hard. But what I've found is that almost every woman that I come in contact with says, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. And, you know, we've even had women cry when I talk. I had a lady crying one time, and I said, I'm so sorry if I said something to offend you. And she said, oh no, you didn't offend me. She said, you took me back to a really dark place in my life. She said, I've been exactly where you are, and I'm not there anymore. And she said, I was so excited by the fact that that was the first time I realized of how far I had come from that dark place. So, you know, it's wonderful to be able to talk to other women and to share with them, you know, where I am, and tell all of my, and it's just wonderful when you really, you know, come clean, so to speak. Other women really, really relate to that. And because they see that you're genuine, that you're authentic, and you're not just up there giving a speech, that you're speaking from your heart. And it's very, very rewarding. And I can't tell you that there are people, the one most profound thing that someone has said to me is that after a talk I had given a couple of months ago, this woman came up to me and she said, I can't tell you what this has done, this weekend has done for me. And I said, well, I'm so happy, and, you know, happy that you related, and that maybe you're going to go home and, you know, work on reevaluating how you're living and whatnot. And she says, no, I'm going to go home and tell my husband that I've met the woman who's going to save my life. I was totally blown away, and I thought, oh my gosh, I really am having an impact on women, which is exactly what I want to do. But it's been very, very rewarding, but it's also been empowering to me, and it's offered me a new form of freedom and given me an opportunity to share my stories, my energy with people, and telling them they're not the only one. They are not alone, that there's tons of women out there that feel exactly the same way. And you were talking about quotes before, and one of my favorite, and I love that one, by the way, you know, one of my favorites is, life isn't measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. What I do is I talk to people, encouraging them, as many as possible, to find purpose and balance in their life. They don't have to live in survival mode. You don't have to live where the whole world, you feel like the whole world's not resting on your shoulders. And hopefully my story will help others to know that they're not alone, that they, if they just slow down and sort of look at their lives and examine how they're living their lives, that maybe my story can help them reduce or learn to control some of that stress and some of that clutter that, you know, sort of plagues everybody in this chaotic world that we live in. But I hope that, you know, they can, and hopefully they can learn to live a more simple and balanced life, because that's where those special moments are, is in the ordinary, everyday, simple life. It's not the big moments, it's the little ones that really matter. And hopefully they can enjoy those special moments with the people who can bring them joy.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Beautiful, Agnes. Tell us, do you have a website where people can go to learn more about how to enjoy those special moments?
It's www.agnesspurlock.com. And Agnes is A-G-N-E-S. Spurlock is S-P-U-R-L-O-C-K. And I would like to say that this whole project has been wonderful, because it's given me an opportunity to reach a new audience and to connect with some women. And I've already had an awful lot of people that have contacted me saying that, you know, I've decided I'm going to stop what I'm doing, slow down, breathe, and really look at how I'm living my life. But I'm working, it has encouraged me to finish up a book, and I'm almost finished with it. It's going to contain stories from my life called Simple Everyday Life. The stories are about my parents, my brothers, growing up on a farm, attending a one-room school, raising my kids, lessons learned from my grandkids, friends, stories from my career. In one of the chapters, probably someone mentioned before that they had something that probably no one else had encountered. Well, I think I have a very unique story, because I have one called Handprints and Footprints. I spent a great deal of time at the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden working there, and there I have some wonderful funny stories about the people and the animals that I encountered while I'm working there. So I'm hoping that will be out in the fall, and hope that everyone will take a look at it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Agnes. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure, and everyone's pleasure here. As I said, we're all in such unbelievably great company. I now would like to introduce Bernadette Dimitra. Bernadette is coming to us from Australia, and she is Chapter 68 in Happiness and Fulfillment, and she approaches happiness and celebrates happiness and her Your Happiness Formula in the most unique ways that involve one of our favorite people in the world, Santa Claus. So, Bernadette.
Hi, Vicki, and hi, everyone. Absolutely, absolutely. And first, can I just say how much I love this book? I finished reading it, and it has inspired me. There's just so many wonderful women just giving so many empowering messages, and wow, I'm just so honored to be part of this. So thank you.
Phenomenal. Well, tell us a little bit about what prompted you to choose the subject matter for the chapter that you did and how you hope that will empower others.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'd start off by sharing my journey as a child. And when I was growing up, like many today, I believe there's one in four in Australia, and I'm sure the stats are very similar in other countries, I was bullied relentlessly. I was beaten up just about every single day. And it was a pretty tough time as a child. I came from a pretty poor family, and my uniform, I was beaten up so much that it was torn and tattered, and my shoes used to flap when I walked, and I had rubber bands to keep one of the shoes together. So we didn't have much money, and also as a child I had crossed eyes and I had black teeth. So I wasn't a really good look as a kid, and they had lots of nicknames for me, including cross eyes and it's a bit like the Cookie Monster's little sister back then. And I didn't have any friends. Of course, nobody wanted to play with me. And my only friend was the magical Santa Claus. And every year my mother would take me to the Myer department store here in Melbourne. And it was the highlight of my year. It was so exciting. I'd squeeze her hand so tight. And as we progressed in the queue, I never forgot those magical moments of his arms outreached. And he was my only friend, was this magical Santa Claus who picked me up, placed me in his lap. And as I told him my wishes and dreams, I always remember the words that he told me as a child, and that was to believe that everything would be okay. And when I went through this really tough time as a child, I had only one storybook, and that one storybook I kept under my pillow, and I used to bring it out each night. And I used to tell him about my day, and he was the only one that I felt outside my family who accepted me. And I remember thinking, wow, this beautiful, magical world, and I wanted to be part of that when I grew up. And he was what got me through. Every time I was knocked down as a child, I always remembered Santa and his words, believe and everything will be okay. But as the years rolled on, lots of things happened like they do to lots of the women listening today, including for me. I had a major car accident, and they told me I was very lucky to be alive. It took me 3 years to recover. I spent months and months in hospital. My entire body was crushed. I had many broken bones, and I had to learn to walk again, and it ended up taking me 3 years before I was able to work again and recover from that. And I lost my beloved parents within 18 months of each other. Both died of cancer, and I was knocked out again, and it was getting harder and harder as I was getting older, because I'd forgotten my childhood dream. And I remember when I got divorced and I was in my early 40s, and I remembered the words of Santa, believe and everything will be okay. But I remember thinking, well, believe in what? And it suddenly dawned on me, believe in you. So it set me on this amazing journey of discovery, and I met some of the most amazing people and read I can't tell you how many books and went to so many workshops, and I ended up discovering wonderful happiness principles. And on this journey of discovery, I met many great mentors, and one of them was a lady by the name of Bonnie Dillabaugh. And she totally changed my life, and I'm so grateful to her. And I think in all of our journey, including this book can be a great mentor to many women. And she took me and showed me how to turn my childhood dream, what I was passionate about in life, because I'd kind of lost my passion by this stage. And so she showed me how to turn that into a reality. And I ended up starting a radio podcast show called Conversations with Mrs. Claus. And that introduced me into the Santa world, my beloved Santa world, which I dreamt about as a child, that one day I made a wish as a child that when I grew up that I would be part of that magical Santa family and I would make people happy just like Santa. Well, I can tell you that today that dream did come true, and my show Conversations with Mrs. Claus ended up in 90 countries, and I had up to 300,000 people listening in a month. And yeah, I was very blessed and very lucky to have interviewed many great people who shared their happiness formulas and principles in life, including many great Santas. And so what ended up happening for me is that people all around the world were emailing me and saying, well, you know, these are my issues and these are my problems, and what can I do about it? And so I loved inspiring people, and one of my mentors always taught me that whatever you learn or whatever you discover, you've got an obligation to share that with others. And so that's what this book is also doing. It's giving me another way to get out there and share what I've been taught. So in the book, I share some of the things that I discovered, a happiness formula. And there's a number of principles which include play and gratitude, generosity, and taking care of ourselves, and, you know, and living fully present in the moment. And I give some tips on how to do that, including optimism and lots of other little tips that you'll read about in the book. But I want people to know that happiness matters. It's so important in life, because when we become the change that we seek, and you talked about, you've given some beautiful quotes today, and others have shared some too. One that I love is by Gandhi, is that become the happiness that you seek, and get out there in the world and share what's inside. But, you know, we can make a huge difference when we do share our stories. And don't be fearful to share your story, because there's probably, you know, hundreds, thousands, millions in the world that have a similar story. And together we really can make a difference when we take on, I believe, happiness principles, the core happiness principles. So that's my message, is that magic really does happen when happiness matters.
Oh, and that is so magical, Bernadette. Do you have a website where people could go to learn more?
Absolutely. I've got a couple. One is howcanibehappy.co. So if you want to go over there, you can read more about my story. I've got lots of transformational tips and tools, and some free insights for you as well.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And again, one of our early risers from Australia, thank you so much for being here. Is Ali Longoria on the call? Allie?
Hey, beautiful Vicki, this is Allie. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Allie. Allie is chapter number 53 under success, and she tells her story of what motivated her, not always in the most positive way, to go from fear to financial freedom. She's a self-made millionaire. She's dynamic, as you can imagine, and we've done some wonderful things together, including a mastermind, which we both belong to in San Diego, where we meet frequently. And Allie, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it is absolutely my honor and pleasure to be here. And just want to shout out and say I love you, Vicki. I miss you, and I can't wait for us to connect again on our beautiful mastermind.
Yes, I agree. I was wondering, Allie, one of the things that I loved about your story and about a lot of the stories in the book is that this was the forum where you decided to share for the first time some of the motivation that was, you know, may have gotten positive results, but was not necessarily positive motivation. And can you just share a little bit about what prompted you to just tell your story for the first time, and then how you hope your story will help others?
It was interesting, Vicki. Everyone, when you look in the book, you'll see my name is Alice Longoria. My formal name is Alice. That wasn't a typo. My friends and a lot of people call me Allie, but my legal name is Alice. I'm a lawyer as well. If you look me up that way, you'd find me as Alice. That's my formal name. And I haven't used that regularly for quite a while. What came to me, Vicki, I was literally at my brother's place, and I was in bed, and you had sent the invitation out to me a couple times, and, you know, you and I are friends, and I just closed my eyes, and for some reason, in the middle of the night, I just came to me that, gosh, I should share this particular story. And tears started coming down my eyes, and the reason it was is because I really didn't want to. At least I didn't think I wanted to. Because my mom, who I absolutely adore, is still alive, thank God, and my family, and it was a secret. It was a secret that I was scared, frankly, to share, because I felt a lot of guilt and didn't want to hurt my family. And that's what I was making up. And what I heard as I closed my eyes was my father and or God, whoever, said, this is your story to tell. Because what came to me was, tell it after mom's gone. And I said, when I heard that, it came clear that this was the time for me, that this is about me and my story, not about me in a selfish way, about me moving forward. And I heard, make me cry now, my dad's blessing in it. And so I said, I'm going to use my real name. And I emailed you. And I said, all right, I'm in. And I told you it's going to be something interesting. And so for me, it was around what happened and what I made up around money. And the bottom line is in the story you'll hear about my beloved father, who I adore to this day, and he's in heaven taking care of me, and was so generous and so wonderful, and I happened to walk in on his infidelity. And my mom, who's also amazing, you'll hear the story in there about how I made up a story around it in my head when I was 5 years old, that she didn't leave because of the money. And it was a made-up story in my head, and that really was a huge foundation for my becoming an attorney, my, at times, obsession with making money to try to protect my mom, protect me, protect the family, and providing for it. On the positive side, drove me to be a self-made millionaire, an attorney, a litigator, publishing company. I had a lot of, quote, successes, but the challenge was is the way I approached it, you know, a lot of times, and the workaholicness, and just a lot of different things that were serving me when I was there and took me places, and what's now time to be released and do differently. And so that's what it's about, that story.
Oh, that's so beautiful, and thank you so much for choosing this wonderful forum with all of us present in it in order to share this story with us. Allie, I know you're helping a lot of women develop success, and success in a really, really positive way. Do you have a website where people can go to learn more?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. Yes, I work with women to help them basically systemize and automate their lives and businesses, particularly with the speakers and the authors and the coach world, so that they can really bring in that financial freedom that they desire. And my version of financial freedom now has changed. It's not just about the money. It's knowing that I'm more than my money, that financial freedom is really about not just making and managing it, but also being spiritually strategic about it and living the life that you want. And so for me, I love to look at women's businesses and work with them to help them develop the financial freedom that they desire, whatever that looks like for them. And so if you're interested in connecting more, so excited to talk with you and have my team help you in any way we can at successfulshe.com/WST is the best place for the people in this book who have this book, or the women. So successfulshe.com/WST for Wounded Survive Thrive. And there's some beautiful gifts to help you succeed with grace, speed, and ease there too, helping you outsource your overwhelm and helping you in just different ways. So I would love to meet you and connect with you and just go there. Have a lovely day. Thank you so much.
Allie, thank you so much for being here. It's just always a pleasure spending time with you. Thank you so much. Is Joanne Ward on the line by any chance?
Hi, Vicki. Yes, I'm here.
Joanne, I thought it would be a perfect segment to bring in your story, because Allie had talked about the impressions of when we're as young children, as women, how young girls, we can carry things with us all the time that are not necessarily true, and they can really absolutely frame our lives. And you wrote Chapter 47, Motherhood and Children, The Little Girl We Carry With Us. Joanne, can you tell us a little bit about your story and how that's impacted the work you're doing with others now?
Oh, thank you. This is such an honor to be able to share something like this, because it did have a huge impact on me and the people around me. You know, we all carry around our core beliefs, and actually there's a lot of research being done now that even some of our core beliefs are solidified before we're 2 years old. The rule typically was, or the scientific findings was, that before age 7, we tend to develop our core beliefs on things that happen and how we perceive those. And I've had an interesting life, not the kind of life I would have liked to have had, and it's primarily because of what I perceived as a young child. Very briefly, I was about 2.5 years of age, and I remember standing at the train station with my parents and my brother, and a gentleman came towards us, and the next thing I knew, the gentleman was taking my brother and I away. And when I looked back at my parents, they seemed to be extremely happy that I was leaving. So my perception at that time in my life was my parents were giving me away and I wasn't good enough to keep. And the gentleman actually was my grandfather, and I stayed with my grandparents for 6 months while my mother was convalescing from surgery. And I didn't know that. So 6 months later, my mother came for me. I had no idea who this beautiful lady was, but she took me away from my grandparents. So within a 6-month period, I was given away twice and developed this belief that I was not good enough to keep and developed a life of overachieving, thinking maybe this time I'll be good enough and I will be loved enough to be loved. And for years, 40 years, I was an overachiever. I burnt out twice, hospitalized year after year just from the fact that in some cases I just thought maybe someone will take care of me instead of me working so hard to take care of everybody else. And I can remember I had always wanted to do a master's degree. And my background is in business and teaching, and I love working with young people, especially teenagers. And somehow I have a great rapport with them. And I went back to university, and during that time I had my own teenagers, a husband, ailing parents, but I am at a job, full-time job, and I did my master's over 2 years in leadership. I learned to love learning again. I realized that deep inside of me, in the real me, I was a brilliant, creative woman who had been squashed or felt squashed because of a belief that was never, ever true. And so my little article in your wonderful book is that story of how just by fulfilling one of my dreams, being so scared that I would not be good enough to pass or contribute, ended up being a huge major dream being fulfilled and soaring from there. So what I'm doing now is I am a life coach for teens and young adults, 16 to 24 years of age, and I'm creating a book right now for their parents called The Five Incredible Secrets Your Kids Keep and Really Want You to Know. And I can't wait. I'm so excited about that. Parents are hungry for information on how they can be truthful and carry on excellent dialogue and break those perceptions that children develop so early in their lives. So that's where I am right now. And I just, every time I read even my little article, I just, the tears run down my face because I know that I'm not the only one who's had a belief like that. And people, when they read that article and so many of the other ones in the book, they look at this as a book of hope and they find so much peace within. So I'm delighted to be part of this. Thank you so much.
And Joanne, we're delighted to have you be a part of it with all of us. Do you have a website where people can go to learn more about the wonderful work you're doing with youth and with their parents?
Thank you. Yes, it's www.growforwardyouthsuccess.com.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Is Linda Zimmerman at home?
I am.
Thank you so much for joining us, Linda. Linda wrote Chapter 30 in Relationships, Moving from Hell to Heaven. Linda, tell us a little bit about what motivated you to write the subject matter of your chapter and how you hope that will help others.
Oh, well, thanks, Vicki, for the opportunity to tell my story. I was wounded in an abusive marriage and felt very shocked because I didn't know what abuse was, being raised in a Christian home and, you know, learning how to care for others and be nice to people. And so that really moved me from living, you know, in chaos, stress, and uncertainty to wanting to be able to create, you know, the life of my own now. But taking it and wanting to inspire people to not only accept, you know, their life lesson, because for me it was a life lesson, and I've learned to become who I'm supposed to be, which is a very strong person, and realize that wherever you are, you can go, you know, take a step, there's a solution for everything, and, you know, and help others. Learning my life gift, you know, also a spiritual gift, being an empath, learning, you know, that I had this capability that I didn't understand why, that in my marriage, my ex-husband showed me my gift as a coach when I took her Divine Wisdom class told me, and it was that I could feel what other people were feeling, and it actually helps me in my life coaching business because I know where they're at, and I almost can say, my sister always said, why, how do you always know you're saying the right thing? And I'm like, I just do, and I just know it. And so that helps me to help others, and so that can, you know, I can empower them and give them strength and wisdom.
Linda, that's so beautiful. I love the empowerment in your story about how you turned something that could be perceived as very negative into a life lesson that now you're sharing with others so they too can really appreciate their life fully, regardless of whether the experience may be perceived by some as positive or negative. And it's a beautiful thing. Linda, where can people find out more about you or connect with you?
Yeah, I have a website, liveheart inspired.com or liveheartinspired@gmail.com also if they want to email me.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Linda. I think all of our ladies have shared their stories with us, and I want to thank you so much, all of you, for being here. It's just been an extraordinary experience for me. Most of you I interviewed, and I got to connect with you again today and share the amazing power in your stories and the transformation in your lives with listeners who really need to hear your message now. And I thank you for being here. And for all of those who would like to learn more about the book, Wounded, Survive, Thrive, go to www.woundedsurvivethrive.com and you'll be able to meet all of our co-authors there and learn more about this wonderful experience. Thank you, ladies, for being here, and for everyone listening, have an absolutely wonderful week. To learn more about Wounded, Survive, Thrive, our other bestsellers, and the opportunity for you as a writer to get published now, visit geteip.com. That's GETEIP.com. This is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, wishing you a happy and award-winning week. See you next time.